Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life with your host Avik. This podcast is all about exploring the latest research, sharing personal stories and providing personal tips for improving our mental health and well-being. Each episode will be joined by experts in the field of mental health as well as individuals who have experienced the transformative power of a healthy mind firsthand. Together, we will dive into a range of topics from managing stress and anxiety to building resilience and cultivating happiness. So, join us on this journey to discover new ways to take care of our minds, bodies, and souls. And let's work together to create a healthier, happier world one episode at a time. So, let's get started. Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life. I'm your host Avik, and today we are joined by Kieran Spillane. So welcome to the show, Kieran.
Thank you for having me.
Lovely, lovely. So before we start our conversation, I would love to mention this to all of our listeners that Kieran is the founder of Trust Your Body Again. So his journey from overcoming a fractured spine to becoming a seasoned physio and wellness coach has led him to develop the Vitality Accelerator. So why to wait? Let's join us as he shares his insights on reclaiming the vitality and confidence, offering the practical strategies to trust your body again. So get ready to break free from the stress and stagnation as we explore the holistic wellness with Kieran Spillane. Welcome to the show again, Kieran.
Thanks. Thank you for having me. I'm really looking forward to having a chat with you, Avik.
Lovely, lovely. So, Kieran, like, I was going through your bio, and from there, I have a few things in my mind. Like, but before we proceed, like, if you can share a bit more about your personal journey and how you came to focus on breaking the barriers related to the negative biasness, stress, and competing commitments. Like, if you can share.
Yes, definitely. So I am originally from the UK, and I actually moved over here when I was 18. So when you talked about the, you know, the moment where I fractured my back, that was back when I was 16 years old, I think, in the UK. And I think that's what was the seed, if you like, that got me interested in physiotherapy because of the rehab I had to do and I suppose the recovery I went through. When I came to Australia, I was 18, 19 years old, and there it was a new world. I'd never been to a country as big as Australia, coming from a small town. And I went to university, didn't really know what I was wanting to do, actually, tell a lie. But I applied for university and I got into physiotherapy, which was really, I suppose, what put me on the trajectory I am right now. Over that time, though, where I've, I suppose, evolved as a practitioner into a wellness coach is that I've done over 25,000 consultations now, and I've been a physio for a very long time since then, since studying. And what I've realized from my personal experience and as my professional experience is that as a physio, we're so very deficit focused. We're so very focused on the brokenness of a person. We're always looking at diagnosing and trying to pull apart everything about that person. And it just makes a big deficit. And, you know, we all experience COVID in different levels. And in Australia, we had a lot of time to reflect. And in that time, I reflected and I realized that actually, you know, looking at all of the people that I treat and for everyone that got better, I've rarely done much, not much. It was actually them. It was them, their traits, their I suppose, resilience and characteristics that actually allowed them to flourish and thrive in life. So I think that was where it shifted for me, and I wanted to, instead of break people down and look at the deficits, I wanted to build people up and look at their strengths. And that's where I am right now.
Wow, that's really lovely. Yeah, thanks for sharing this. So, as you mentioned about, so basically we are talking about the negative bias now. So, one thing is also coming to my mind, like negative bias can often hinder the progress and the self-belief, I believe. So, how do you suggest like individuals to recognize and overcome this hidden barrier in their lives?
Yeah, of course. So the negative bias is really interesting. When I was researching, I suppose the barriers as to what makes us get in our own way, this negative bias kept on popping up. And the more I looked into it, the more I realized that every human has negative bias, and there's some evidence to suggest we actually have negativity bias from as early as 3 months old. So there's this thought that negative bias is an evolutionary safety mechanism, because you can imagine, if you're, go back to when we're cavemen, say, if we're the positive, all happy, go lucky, caveman walking forward is the one that gets taken out by a saber-toothed tiger, whereas the negative bias caveman who's around the corner and looking for all of the danger is the one that essentially survives. And that's that in a nutshell. But it's evolutionary, it's a protective mechanism, and we have that innate perception, but our world has changed. No longer are there people around the corner usually trying to kill us, or saber-toothed tigers or wild animals. The risks have definitely reduced, and we still have that evolutionary makeup, but we're not aware of it. So we tend to see the world in a very negative way. And I think this is what, building upon my realization before about how we focus on the deficits, we believe we're broken to be fixed. We have such a negative viewpoint on ourselves and the world, that it's just, we're so unaware of it. It just is who we are. So the challenge with negativity bias is first become aware that it's a part of being human. It's a human condition to be negative. So it's a challenge to then overcome it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think the way to overcome it is best put in a reframe exercise. And if we, if I was to use anxiety, and I'm not downplaying people who experience anxiety, as a crippling disorder, but just as a general kind of anxiety feeling, you can reframe that. You can shift that into, oh, well, is it excitement? What am I feeling anxious about? And you can easily, if it's just that general anxiety, reframe that into, oh, actually, I'm feeling excited about something. And that's that deficit to strength based. It's the negative to the positive shift. So I think, when anyone who I've worked with has had a strong negative bias, I've really worked hard to reframe them. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, so that would be, I suppose, how I would work with the reframing. And obviously there's a lot of different strategies that you can use there. But the crux of it is the reframing from a more optimistic mindset. And we're talking about mental health and the mind. And it's funny because you can also jump straight into what I call toxic positivity. And, there's always a spectrum. You've got like this negative end and this positive end. And what I found is that there are some people out there that are actually just super, super positive, but to the detriment of its borderline denial. Do you know what I mean? And so we don't want to reframe it to the point where it's like, oh, everything's okay, everything's great, nothing's happening. For example, if you've been diagnosed with cancer, that is not good. That is, you can't tell people everything will be fine, or you can't even tell yourself everything will be fine. So the key is to be optimistic. You can with optimism, you can sit with it and you go, yeah, it's pretty shit right now. Oh, excuse my language, it's pretty bad right now, but I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I think the reframe, if you just peel it back the layers a little bit, if you scratch the surface, it's not about reframing to a positive, an overly positive perception. It's about sitting with accepting your situation and saying, okay, but I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. There is some hope at the end. Does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly makes sense. Yeah. So, one more thing is coming to my mind. Stress, we all talk about, and nowadays it's a very common word for all of us. So, stress can be definitely a roadblock to achieving our goals. But at the same time, how can you? I mean, just to ask you, if you can share, how can individuals identify, when the stress is impacting their decision making and the productivity? Any way that we can find out or something?
Stress is prevalent, isn't it? Like everyone's experiencing stress, especially in the modern world. And we're in totally different countries, Arvik, and I'm sure we're all experiencing a relative level and experience of stress. So stress is one of those modern issues, I think. But I suppose if you take a step back and actually look at stress in itself doesn't mean that, or it's not always negative. Stress can be positive. Going to the gym and stressing your muscles is a positive experience. Working in a I suppose a stressful environment, or having bills to pay and a lot of other commitments, then that can be quite a negative stress, because it's how it nourishes you or pulls you apart or down. So if we were to look at, I suppose, stress as a neutral term, it can still have the same effect. So if the stress is good, you can still get a heightened, elevated nervous system. Does that make sense? And the same goes with if the stress is negative, you get a heightened nervous system. And what happens is something, and it's a real basic psychology, principle, which I'm sure you're fully aware of, which is that arousal curve, the Bell arousal curve, where the optimum, level of arousal is in the middle, and then if you're under aroused, you don't perform, and if you're over aroused, then everything suddenly becomes a little bit more narrow. Everything suddenly becomes more tunnel visioned, and you just stop seeing the opportunities. And yeah, the when so the if you if we don't regulate our levels of stress, whether it's for the positive or the negative, we can often slip into that over aroused state where we just start becoming tunnel visioned. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, understood.
Yeah, and you see it in athletes. Like we often talk about this arousal bell curve in athlete performance, because if we want them to be in that prime space. So you look at what's available to regulate that stress, and I think the one of the great, I suppose, what you call it, reclamation of an ancient mode is breath work. And being able to, embrace breath to somatic and to physically control our, I suppose, emotional, mental arousal is a powerful thing. And simple things like box breathing. You don't have to go to that extreme level of like Wim Hof or hyperventilation, and just simple box breathing and diaphragmatic filling is powerful enough to bring that arousal down.
Okay, got it. So, also, if you can also share some of the examples of the success stories, from the individuals who have effectively overcome these barriers?
Yeah, actually, I might bring a client who has actually she had a traumatic car accident, and because obviously I'm a physiotherapist and a wellness coach, I work with elevating people beyond the normal, but quite often I attract people who've experienced, you know, physical limitations, such as this lady who was in a car accident and she fractured her collarbone.
Okay.
She had to have it, you know, surgically repaired. And it was really interesting. So when she came to me, she often talked about how, you know, when she'd done exercise or when she worked, she was a chef by trade, and she felt that she was very short of breath, and she was attributing that to this anxiety or levels of stress because she just wasn't, you know, pre-accident physicality. She'd lost a lot of power in her limb from the collarbone fracture in the surgery, and because it was a traumatic experience, she had some leftover anxiety. And I was talking to her about the challenges that she's had, and one of the challenges she has is the not being able to get back to the things she loves, which was boxing, surfing, going to the gym. And the barrier was that every time she would try to do something, she would start to feel really lightheaded. And it was because she was getting over aroused. She was experiencing a level of stress trying to return to these things that she was doing before. And it was over arousing her, and it made her nervous system get to a point where she hyperventilated a bit. So we took a step back. I educated her on that breath mechanics of, you know, what can trigger that feeling of shortness of breath and lightheadedness. And we just practiced, you know, diaphragmatic breathing and some, old school box breathing, and it changed how she was able to, or it changed her experience of returning to those sports. So what was a spiral downwards, where every time she tried to do the things that she used to love doing, she experienced a level of anxiety. She was able to regulate herself through breath and with small steps in the right direction towards the things she loves. She now can go to the gym, and we're building her up to get back to boxing. And we're now exploring her going surfing. As you can imagine, surfing's in the ocean. That's the final thing we're going to achieve. But, you know, it's a powerful thing, and it can really put people on the right direction if they can learn to regulate that stress.
Oh, okay. Great, that's really great. So but before we move, like, what advice would you give to someone who feels overwhelmed by this negative biasness, stress, or competing commitments? Like, what do you say?
The overall advice, is that what you're asking?
Yeah, exactly.
Look, I think we need to take a step back. I know it sounds too simple, but we get too caught up in a very narrow focused, very individualistic approach to life and our wellness. We don't really take a step back and look at our environment. You know, I have a saying in the clinic that we're an expression of our environment, but the only way we can tell if the environment's interacting with us is if we can take a step back and we look at it and we look at how we interact with everything. And I think, you know, if there's one simple thing anyone could do to improve any facet of their wellness, is to truly take a step back and observe and just make sense of the picture and see how you're interacting with it. Does that make sense?
Definitely makes sense. Yeah. Great. So thank you so much, Kiran, like, for sharing your insights. And it's a great insight, I would say, on breaking the barriers, like navigating the negative biasness, stress, and completing the commitments. So dear listeners, like, remember that awareness is the key to overcoming these obstacles.
And also at the same time, reflect on the insights shared by Kiran and consider like how you can apply them in your life. So seek support from your community as you walk towards your goals. And at the same time, remember that small actions can lead to a significant change. So share this episode with others who may benefit, and together, let's break this through barriers and create a life of the vitality and the fulfillment. So until next time, stay empowered on your journey to a healthy mind and a healthier life. So thank you so much.